At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
I just think it's a child by child thing, and that even now, like with all of this being out of our control, we know ultimately God is in control. He's not going to lose one of these little kids. He's not going to be unaware.
Welcome to Cultivating the Lovely. I'm your host, Mackenzie Coppa. And around here, we know that life is hard and we got to do everything we can to just make it a little bit more lovely. So it's my mission to bring you great conversations, practical tools and information, and a healthy dose of community to help make those things happen. If you want to find out more, you can go to our website at cultivatingthelovely.com, visit our amazing membership community at patreon.com/cultivatingthelovely, or by connecting with me on Instagram, which is one of my favorite places to interact with all of you. You can find me at Mackenzie Coppa. Thanks so much for joining me today. Ladies, I have one of my best gal friends back again today on the show with me, Katie Duckett, and we are talking all about the craziness of this year. But not only the crazy, how we are trying to shift our perspective and overcome the challenges that this year is so packing on top of us. Brainstorming solutions with Katie always does my heart good, and I know that this episode is going to do your guys' hearts good as well. And I'm really excited because Katie and I are cooking up some serious loveliness for this fall. While right now, through the month of August, we're doing a whole bunch in Patreon to be getting us ready for September, Katie and I are going to bring the overdose of lovely in September so that we can all thrive and not just completely burn out in the craziness that is coming. She has so many beautiful, wonderful ideas that I can't wait to help bring to all of you guys. In fact, the very first episode of season 6, which will be the first week of September, is going to be packed with all the loveliness. And if you want to go even deeper with that, then we would love to have you come join us in Patreon. You guys, we're going to need the lifelines right now to get through this school season. So come and join us. Let us help you get organized and then infuse your life with loveliness to not only help you, but your family as well. As this is going to be a challenging season, but we can make it so much better. We can change our perspective. We can come together and encourage one another. And we want you to be a part of that and community with us. So come over to patreon.com/cultivatingthelovely. Join us. And we would love to come alongside you in that journey. But without further ado, let's get on with this episode with Katie Duckett. Welcome back, Katie.
Good morning.
Or whatever time of day people are listening.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be morning. Hello.
Okay, so I wanted to have Katie back on the show today because I thought it would be good. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I gave my perspective on sort of how I am grappling with my kids not going back to school this year and the planning and the preparation that I am going to do to try to keep my sanity this fall, which is a loose concept, I feel like, at this point. But I wanted to get a couple of other moms' perspectives on the whole thing who have, you know, differing situations with their own kids, because I think this is something that so many people are facing across the country. And so maybe just getting some different perspectives would be helpful. So you were looking towards, I mean, you've been a homeschooler for many, many years, and you were looking towards the year when you were going to have the least number of homeschool kids. You were going to be down to just one.
Just one. Yeah, I was down to just one. I have 5 kids. I have 2 who, my youngest 2 are in a private school. And then my older 2 were accepted into this, it's like an engineering academy, but it's an offshoot of the public school system. So 2 public school. And then my middle boy, we were homeschooling. So I'm dabbling in all the different educational possibilities. Yeah. So this has been very interesting to ride out this wave because it's definitely affected us in a lot of ways. For my oldest son, this is going to be his first foray into anything other than homeschooling. and he's going to be a sophomore. And he was, we were geared up for that, to kind of let go, relinquish the reins. He was accepted into this program. He's ready to go, kind of to launch into that. And so now it's almost like the brakes are on that, or it's a little bit of a question mark. Like, what is that even going to look like? What made it so special was the hands-on and the project-based, the way they approach education from that perspective. And that is going to be very hard to facilitate with distance learning at home. And that's really thrown us a curveball. Our private school's opening as normal. So that's feels like a tremendous blessing at this point that's moving forward. But the older three boys, it's a little bit more of what we thought it was going to look like. It's not going to look like that.
Well, and you had really just so prepared to just have your middle home with you. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys were going to have that time. It was going to be kind of a special year. And now that's all, it has to look different.
It sure does. I'm still trying to figure out. The middles that I'm talking about is very much a quality time boy. And that just seemed like I can give him that. I can give him my time. And I even was feeling like a little spark back in my homeschooling, which last year I feel like I started the process of, it was a rescue from burnout, I think, because I moved everybody to like an online, so at home, but the primary thing that they're using is not textbook, but the Chromebook. And I oversaw all of that, and I was very hands-on. I was here, I was available, but it was a step away from the traditional homeschooling I had been doing. Mm-hmm. So in some ways it was preparation for what's come without knowing it, but also my heart just wasn't in the lesson planning and the paper and pencil stuff that I have always done. I could just feel like I'm moving this way. And then mid-year, we went to private school for the younger ones, because I had four students, and that just, I think there was a little burnout and a little overwhelm. So as we kind of tiptoed around, like, what do we do to make this better? We landed on something we thought was really going to work for us. And then it kind of all, up in the air. Tumbling around, but we're reeling a little bit to figure it out, as everyone is. I mean, this, nobody gets through this without letting go of a lot of expectations and what we foresaw,
to say the least. Well, and I mean, I've been very involved in your homeschool planning in the past.
Yes, you have. I would say, you taught me how to do it. I think really, you have such a great ability to take like the entire scope of a year and work it backwards into something manageable, where I would get lost in those details, but you taught me that process. I am so, as my husband, we are so indebted to you for that, because it really changed how it gave me control. I was able to look at, this is what I want to accomplish. Now I'm going to work it back into these manageable chunks, quarter by quarter, then month by month, then week by week, then day by day. And that was such a beautiful way of like owning it and being able to get to everything I wanted to do, rather than we start off really well, but then we lose steam because I never had a really good working vision of how we're going to do these things. And so we maybe accomplished like a quarter of what I actually wanted. Yeah. And that could be a really great quarter, but there's always that feeling of like, oh, but we never got there. And I didn't understand why until I adapted to that sort of methodology of looking at the whole and breaking it down to the little parts. I mean, that probably is such common sense, but that is not how my brain worked. So,
which was so interesting to me at the time, because I just felt like, well, this is just everybody does it, right? And then you were like,
No, not everybody does that.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. I guess this is a different perspective that I have.
Yeah, you've really got something here.
Okay, let me walk you through this. But then it was so, like, what you did with it, though, I feel like was so beautiful and so relational with your kids. And you took like some very basic planning information and developed one of the most beautiful years and experiences I think I've ever witnessed in homeschooling. Aww. Like the way you guys were just like all invested together and how much your kids got out of it. And it was just amazing to see. And you did your happy planner and you had like yeah. this amazing record of all this stuff that you did with your kids. And so when you told me last week that you went out, or this week, I don't know, I've lost all track of time.
Yeah, when was it? I don't know.
But you went and got another happy planner, which yeah. I don't think you did last year.
Sure didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last year, really, I've had those beautiful years with my kids. And honestly, I think it was easier when they were in that upper elementary age.
Yeah.
Once we hit junior high for my older two boys, it just gets you. Well, for one thing, it's harder to read aloud. It's harder to have that sort of like communal story time where my oldest son, who's a very rigorous, just intense student, was like, Mom, I don't have time. Like I've got algebra yeah. and I've got biology. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think we started shifting and adapting, and I found my sweet spot that age, like fifth, sixth grade with little ones who are, you can kind of occupy and you can read and you can do some snacks. And that was my sweet spot. That's where I really feel like it gelled, but then they changed, then they yeah. grew, and then the subjects got harder and more difficult and required something different from me. Instead of like being that primary teacher, now I'm coming alongside them a little differently, like a coach, like
yeah.
you've got to become more independent. I can't, you know, that's just a natural process. But I just feel like that's the whole thing of homeschooling, is it's this lifestyle that's constantly moving. And if mm-hmm. you think you've nailed it, watch out for next year, because there is going yeah. to be a curveball. That's just life. That's what it looks like. But it's been harder for me to evolve and not like lament those sweet years. And if it yeah. can't look like that, should I even be doing? I mean, I think that was my crisis last year, is this doesn't look like what I wanted. This is hard.
Yeah.
I'm struggling with geometry, frankly. Like, I don't know, you know, doing the biology labs at home. A lot of that's, you know, that's not the sweet, lovely part of homeschooling. That's yeah. like the nitty gritty detail, yeah. memorization, hard stuff. And so anyway, I think it just was my heart wasn't in it in the same way last year. I just felt like this is a job and this is a hard job and I want to yeah. do it well, but making it lovely, I lost a little bit of that, because mm-hmm. the boys needed from me was consistency. They needed consistency. They needed me all in, and it felt draining. There wasn't a lot that was giving back. Plus yeah. I had one who I can say this now with a year's perspective, we do not gel homeschooling. I cannot yeah. be in that role for the sake of our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a learning curve. Like, but I homeschooled everybody else. I can't not homeschool this one. Like that.
Yeah.
You know, I really struggled with an identity in that. But then looking at homeschooling can't be up on a pedestal. It can't be an idol. And this is who I am. It has to be, mm-hmm. it has to work for the child, or it's not the right thing. You know, like yeah. I could die on that vine, but it would have been at the expense of the relationship with that kid.
Yeah.
So that was a big learning too, that he could thrive in a different situation.
Yes.
And that was what I wanted. And that was okay. And to let go of this whole, as lovely and wonderful as it was, there was some really ugly stuff wrapped up in my heart, and that was all exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like, it was very raw. Last year felt very raw that way of adjusting and learning. But now, even through like the fact that I don't have control over what this school year is going to look like, it feels like a more honest place. You know, I never really yeah. did have control, but
yeah.
I thought I did.
Yeah.
I thought I did. I thought I could make those choices and affect what I wanted for my kids. Like, it's a formula sort of, I do
yeah.
my part. They show up. We're all going to be good, but that is not real.
The Ladies, I think that at the heart of a lot of us, we want to be donating to causes and organizations who are doing real work across the globe. But it can be really difficult to figure out which charities are legit, who is actually putting your money to good use, how do you really know it's working for you? And that's one of the reasons, especially in a time like this, in the midst of Corona, when millions of people across the globe are suffering from easily preventable other diseases, it's so important that we are giving to charities that are helping those people. So if you're in a position to be able to give and you want to help, you should try to support charities where your next donation can save and improve lives the most. And that's the mission of GiveWell.org. For over 10 years, GiveWell.org has helped donors find the charities and projects that save and improve lives the most per dollar. GiveWell dedicates over 20,000 hours a year researching charitable organizations and handpicks a small set of the highest impact, evidence-based charities. I think that is so incredibly helpful for those of us who don't have the time to go into all the inner workings of these charities. They've done all of the legwork for us so that we can be very confident in where we're sending our money. GiveWell isn't asking for donations for themselves. They're asking that you give to the amazing charities they recommend, like Helen Keller International, which is the charity that I have given to through them, and Against Malaria Foundation. Plus, GiveWell takes no fees, so all of your tax-deductible donation will be used to help others. You can go right to their website, as I did, read the information about the charities, figure out which one you most want to be able to give to, and give right through their site without them taking anything away from the charity. That's why I use GiveWell to give, and I think that you should too. Since 2010, GiveWell has helped over 50,000 donors direct over $500 million to the most effective charities. Most importantly, these donations will lead to over 75,000 lives saved and improve the lives of millions more. So if you want to have even more of an impact, donate soon. Because ladies, any of our listeners who become new GiveWell donors will have their first donation matched up to $100. When you go to givewell.org/lovely and select the podcast Cultivating the Lovely at checkout. This matching offer is good for as long as funds last. So get your first donation matched for these amazing charities up to $100 when you go to givewell.org/lovely and select the podcast Cultivating the Lovely at checkout. Thank you so much for making a difference. And I know that not only GiveWell, but these amazing organizations are going to appreciate it so much. Yeah.
And that was so exposed and so painful. But now I think we're all sort of starting on just a more vulnerable spot. And what I love about homeschooling, I can feel it coming back. Like there is something really beautiful that happens in my heart when I can look at this child and who they are and how they learn and what they're interested in and say, okay, let's now apply that to some educational pieces that will get you where we want to get you by the time you're 18. Like you need to learn, you know, these basics, but how can I take what you love and make it work that way? What stories can I bring in? How can we, like we're going to do for science this year, this kid is so into cooking. He just loves spending time together in the kitchen. I think that's what it is more than anything else.
Yeah.
But we're going to look at wheat and we're going to study like every aspect of it from the planting to the harvesting. We're going to take some field trips because we have to do Washington State history.
Yeah.
We're going to make our own pasta. We're going to grind it. We're good so that he can feed other people from the fruit of this study, basically.
Yeah.
And he will be all over it. But that's what I love is like personalizing and pulling out the things you need and making it, but not putting this arbitrary structure of education on a kid, but letting them come through it. And I just love that part of it. So I feel that back. I feel the creativity and the excitement of it back. And I'm just so thankful that it's not gone. It didn't die in those middle years, but like, okay, no, we can still do this, but I'm going to have a looser hand with it. I'm not going to think it's a salvation of sorts. It's not that. And, it's just a tool and it's not who I am. It's not, it's not who each child, it's not that they're homeschooled. It's that they're educated and they're learning and they're growing and their mind's awake to wonder, you know, that's who they are. It's not, you know, quote unquote, their private schools or their public schools or their homeschool. Mm-hmm. That's, misleading and short sighted in terms of like who they are as a person. So mm-hmm. I just had to walk through all of that to get to a place that's, you know, just willing to adapt to what comes, which is good because we still don't know. I mean, we're a month away and we still don't know what school's going to look like for
yeah.
two of my five kids. And the other two, I mean, that could change on a
yeah
any day, you know. I mean, nothing
constantly
is set.
In flux. Yeah.
It really is. And that is a hard place to be if you want to get things ready for the school year. You want to organize, you want to plan. And you can have plan A, plan B, plan yeah. C. That's yeah. about it.
Yeah. Well, and it's so interesting to see just like even with our experience, you know, as hard as it is to know, okay, they're not going back. Like maybe at some point this year they will, but as far as from where I can see right here, like we're going to be getting into flu season and all of that. Like how are they possibly going to turn things around to get our kids back into school?
Yeah.
When they shut it down in the spring, you know,
yeah.
people are like, you know, I have very little faith in that. And it's such a different way of looking at it, but at least I'm glad to know so that I can yeah. start to prepare at this point. But yeah. I so relate to what you were saying as far as like kind of losing your heart for it. It was when we, you know, my kids have gone to public school for 2 years. So they were basically in school for a year and a half before things shut down. And it was such an identity thing for me. It was so wrapped up into who I was, who they were, how we lived life. It's a lifestyle. And so it was a big adjustment becoming public schoolers. And I had had my doubts like all of these years thinking like it can't be what's best for them. It can't, you know, and then we had such a different experience than that.
Yeah.
Kids thrived in their school environment and have done just so incredibly well and made so much progress. And we've had incredible teachers and incredible staff at their schools. And like, I could not be more thrilled for how it went that when that was taken away, it was a real grieving process, I think, for yeah. all of us, because we had really realized like this works for our family.
Yeah.
And we all like getting up and getting going in the morning and having somewhere to go. And my son did really well, like independently taking care of what needed to be done for his classes. And, you know, to then have that kind of thrust back into my hands, especially because of his dyslexia, was incredibly frustrating for both of us.
Yeah.
And for, I think for him, even more than my second grader at the time, who she's just kind of, you know, she was already ahead of the curve and she did fine. You know, I'm not worried about her, even with this model that I'm not thrilled about going back to school. I think she'll do fine. He would get frustrated with me, like you were saying, like not remembering geometry. We were doing algebra stuff and he was like, "Mom, why don't you know this?" It was like, because I didn't think I was ever going to have to know it again. I did not plan on having to go back here. So as frustrated as you are, I am as well. And this looks totally different. You know, I didn't do algebra with stars and hearts and like whatever yeah. else this is.
Yeah.
No. It was just so frustrating. And to realize like he does better when he can be accountable to somebody else. It saves our relationship because I don't have to be the one who's getting on him for doing his math.
Yep.
And I don't want to be that person anymore. I want to be his mom.
Yep.
And that's what works well for us.
Well, in math, it's always math, isn't it? Oh. It just seems like math is my theory with that homeschooling all these years is like math brings out the ugliness between me and like it just does because it's that tension point. It's the hard, even my son who's very good at math, still like it makes your brain work. And so it brings out all the character things you need to work on as a parent with your child. It brings it all out. It's always math that reveals it. But that whole theory with this son that ended up this last year realizing like it wasn't just the math. I can deal with those, but there was like this contentiousness between us because of having to deal on the front burner with all this stuff. Yeah. We just weren't ever able to put stuff on the back burner. And it was hard to, I just think it's a child by child thing. And that even now, like with all of this being out of our control, we know ultimately God is in control. He's not going to lose one of these little kids. He's not going to be unaware of what their heart is need. Like ultimately we can let go. Ultimately we can know he's got this, even though this is nothing like what I wanted or saw. Or, you know, for my older boys who worked so hard to get into this program, and now this program is essentially falling flat. This is not what I wanted for them. This is not how this should look. And yet, like, I do already see some things developing in them, like a fortitude and like a resiliency of, okay, it's okay. It's okay. We'll make the best of it. We'll, you know, we'll push in, we'll press in here. We'll still give it our best and trust that things will open back up. Or if they never do, like, it's okay. You know, it's been interesting to see how they're weathering this for the seniors or the kids who are losing essentially what, you know, what could have been the pinnacle of what they've been working for all these years, like seeing them weather this, like this is interesting character stuff developing in a way we wouldn't have sought after, but yeah, just to let that go. I think that's something we're all having to do, like it or not. Yes. And it's a matter of like, the one thing we can't control there is our attitude with it. Like, okay, this is happening. How do I make the most of this and not grow bitter and not grow resentful, but how do I help my kids navigate this with a heart that trusts that ultimately like God is in control.
Ladies, you know what everyone loved doing at the beginning of the pandemic? Cooking. You know what everybody loathes doing by now in the pandemic? Cooking. And I know I am definitely in that camp. I am so sick of making things, especially when I want something healthy, but it just feels like it takes so much effort. It takes all this recipe research and multiple trips to the grocery store and hours of monotonous meal prep. But then I met Freshly. You guys, this has been the perfect answer for my life because they understand that food needs to be delicious, healthy, and simple. Because let's be honest here, if it's not easy, I'm sure as heck not going to do it. And if it doesn't taste good, I definitely won't do it. Just ask anyone in my life who knows how picky I am. With Freshly, though, you can avoid the grocery store and enjoy fully prepared dinners delivered fresh, not frozen, right to your door. Put up your feet and relax because Freshly's chefs and nutritionists do all the hard work. All you do is heat for 3 minutes in the microwave, or you can pop it in the oven if you want to, and dinner is done. And the recipes are legitimately good. I tried them. I had it sent to my house and I absolutely loved it. It took all the hassle out of dinner time for me because a lot of times I would make myself a Freshly dinner, just heat it up, but then I would make something simple for the kids that I knew they would just eat and would be easy, but I could have my Freshly dinner and feel like I had made a really good choice, or sometimes I would have them for lunch. They are so delicious and good for me. They have things like golden oven fried chicken that's actually good for you, creamy springtime risotto, and fall apart tender beef brisket. I couldn't believe how tender and juicy all of their meats were. It was so good. And those are just a few of the 30 plus health conscious options to choose from. So join almost 1.5 million satisfied customers and skip the shopping, prepping, cooking, and cleanup. Freshly is offering my listeners $40 off the first two orders at freshly.com/lovely. That's freshly.com/lovely. Go take the headache out of dinner today. Yeah. Well, and for them learning to even have to be independent and kind of drive themselves forward in situations where in no normal circumstances would that have to be the case. I mean, yeah. I've seen that even with Roman. You know, he was in band this year. He loved band. He was just excelling and growing so much and learning so much. He plays the drums. And to have that fall flat, I mean, when we were doing the online stuff, his band teacher came on one time and was like, yeah, this is pointless. I'm not going to try to teach you guys over Zoom. So good luck. See you next year. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, well, I guess you're not going to get much out of that. And yeah. He had just gotten his drum set for Christmas. But now he's having these opportunities where, like, he goes to a pretty small youth group. So they have resumed getting back together again. And that's kind of hilarious because they said, hey, man, will you play the drums? And he's like, oh, yeah, sure. Like, he's this kid who has this overconfidence in his abilities. And sometimes that can really get him into a situation where it's like, oh, wait, maybe I didn't know what I was doing. But he got in there and he played him the first time. And he just, like, he hardly even practiced beforehand. He was like, oh, yeah, I got
love it.
I got rhythm. It's going to be good. And when he came out that first time, he was like, oh, well, you know, it wasn't horrible. I was like, okay, you know, but they've asked him to come back and continue doing it week after week. And so all I can figure is he isn't horrible. Like he's doing okay. But the other night I was driving him there and he hadn't had a chance to practice. And so he was listening to the songs in the car on the way there. And we are driving along and I'm listening to this song and then it's dawning on me, like, this is what he's supposed to be playing. And this is like the whole beginning of the song is like, dun 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 dun. And I'm like, were you aware that this song is like completely driven by the drums? And his eyes are just like saucers on his face. He's like, what were they thinking? Why did they think that I was capable of this? Like, what is it? For the kid who's like always overconfident, he was just like, oh my gosh. And then we got to the middle of the song and it was like a 2-minute drum solo.
And oh my gosh.
I was laughing so hard. And he was like, what? What is going on? This can't be right. This can't be the right song. Like, what are they? No, what? Wait, Mom, stop laughing. And I was just dying because like, you get in there and do it, bud. And so when he got back in the car, I was like, was it the right song? He was like, yeah, I mean, I didn't do the drum solo, but it was that song. I just kind of, I did what I could do. It's a character building experience.
Okay. For sure. Oh my gosh.
But he is like getting better and he's growing. And when I do hear him playing the drums in our house, like he's made progress and he's listening to music from that perspective of being a musician, which is different. And so even though he hasn't had the instruction, I do see him growing in ways that are kind of, you know, he's just kind of being thrown in the deep end, but it is forcing him to figure stuff out and learn how to do it. And I think to a certain extent, from what I've seen from your family, like with sports and that situation, your boys have had to drive themselves in their workouts and preparing to hopefully be back in sports again and stuff, which I think has been incredibly admirable from outside looking in.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't had a choice.
Yeah.
They just frankly haven't had a choice. And when football, which is, I mean, we plan our year around football. That's, it's going to be hard to feel like it's fall without football. Frankly, I mean, if I'm just honest, it's not just them, it's me too. You know, we love it. So
I knew Katie was back in it and there were sports on TV and she sent me a picture of herself in her glasses. I was like, the glasses are out. There must be sports on the TV.
Yep. It was basketball, which professional basketball would not be my first choice, but it was a sport. It was a live sport and it was on TV. And it was
like, didn't even care.
Where are my glasses? And they literally had dust on them. And that was very sad. Like, I have not needed to see any scores for a really long time.
Yeah. Yeah. For real.
But, that was wonderful when there was just like something. We just gather around it. We're competitive. We like it. We love it. And so, it's been this slow descent down, but at the beginning of the spring when, you know, they can't get together for football camp for the fall yet, but they're hoping they can next month. And then next month comes and they can't yet, but keep working out at home, lifting and running and keeping yourself in shape. And then they pulled it for the fall, and it's, we're going to have football after basketball. So football is going to be in February, late February, March, a little bit of April. So that's what our state has done. We're going to have these four sports seasons starting in January. So we'll see how that all works out. But the kids are, I mean, obviously let down because this yeah. is, a, this is, you know, but they are still working out there. They've just decided like this is when character really comes out. Come January, yeah. who's actually going to be in shape and who's not?
Yeah.
You know, what do you do when no one's looking? You know, that
yeah.
integrity adage about it's when nobody's looking that it really counts, when nobody yeah. can see it. And it's been very good to see that they are willing to put in the work when maybe no one else is, or they don't know if anyone mm-hmm. else is, when it's hot, when it's 105 out and you do not want to go for a jog or a run or, but they're willing to make themselves uncomfortable for this, for the goal of being ready for a sport that they're hoping is coming. But I've been encouraged to see that they have that within them, that they're willing to do it. They're willing to,
to
put in that work. And they've kind of set goals. Like, I want to be the most improved player coming back, 'cause I have time. I have time to be that. So I want to be that, you know, they kind of put that fire in themselves and then they compete. And luckily, 'cause I have so many boys in my house, there's competition around every turn, you know, whether it's ping pong, whether it's basketball or football or, rollerblading, or, I mean, they compete about throwing their garbage away. Like, you know, I mean, there's nothing that isn't willing to be competed with. So it's just, it's spilling out of the corners, but they, it's been good to see it applied to something worthy instead of just, there's so much time, ample time. And I think it's we've been given this gift of like developing that muscle in our children, in ourselves first and in our homes and families. But really, what are we going to do? Are we going to allow this time to go by and we're sad and we're, it's not what it should have been? Or are we going to just propel ourselves forward? Like, I have this time I've been given, what am I going to do? How can I better myself? Or how can we grow stronger? How can we work on our marriage in this season and come out like really strong? You know, like I've got time. Like, what am I going to do with it? So it's good to see. It's just good to see that remain, and they haven't lost hope yet. Now, if the seasons are pulled away in the winter, I don't know what that would do to, like, I mean, you know, then I think it drives even deeper.
If
you don't have a sport to compete in, did you waste that time getting yourself in shape? That's a deep question to ask themselves at their age. You know, was it a waste? Did I learn something in this that made it worthwhile? Did I learn how to push myself and how to do it without that ultimate purpose? It's just, this is all, there's potential within all of this to be dramatically sad and upset, or to be more of who we can become. And I hope to continue to see that. I hope we don't burn out on that, but that's a day by day choice. And that's it's rough. You know, I wasn't prepared to take this on the front burner. This was just, these are fun years, you know, where the schedule is so full. And finally, like, you know, you've watched your child play T-ball for all these years, and finally, like, they're on it. It's fun. The sports get fun. You know, it's real competition. It's legit stuff. And even school-wise, like, this is when they're starting to hone into their real strengths and what they're going to do with their life. You know, it starts to get more exciting. They get busier. It's just a different level of relating to them. Yeah. And so some of that just gets pulled back to being like, oh my gosh, you're aimless.
Yeah.
Like, without two-a-day football, which is what should be going on right now. Last year, Jack would leave at 7 in the morning, he would get back, he rode his bike to practice. On the way back, he and his friend would have to stop for fast food somewhere because they were dying. They were so hungry. Yeah. Then they'd eat a full lunch when they got home. And then they would like crash in the air conditioned basement, and then they'd go back. And then they, yeah, you know, like they were consuming like 5,000 calories a day. They were working their bodies. They were, yeah, it was fun, as brutal as it was. But now they're, yeah, it's just weird to see. It's kind of trippy to see. You have so much time. Like, I never get this much time with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're here. You're here again.
Yeah. Ladies, this pandemic has been wearing on a lot of people's mental health. I think almost everyone I talk to has struggled in some way with either anxiety or depression or just general frustration and worry about our lives and where things are going moving forward during all of this craziness. And there could not be a better time to be introducing professional help into your life. And that's why I'm a huge proponent for BetterHelp. That's H-E-L-P, because they will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. There is a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas anyway, and the service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor, and you'll get timely and thoughtful responses, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to try to go to a waiting room with a mask and deal with all of the corona craziness around trying to get into an office. You can do it all right from home. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches as well, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if you need to. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. I know personally, I've been utilizing counseling for the past 3 years to help me to just be able to sort out my life and be able to figure out the right steps moving forward and sort out things from my past. And it has been so helpful to get me in the place that I am today, to feel like even in the midst of a lot of craziness, I know I will be able to handle it and I have tools to be able to move forward. And BetterHelp has been a big part of that. So visit BetterHelp.com/lovely. That's Better, H-E-L-P. And join the over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. And my listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/lovely. You guys, don't waste another minute. Get the help that you need to be able to feel stable and secure moving forward in the midst of the chaos that we're all living in. I really can't tell you how much it's changed my life and how much I think it will help yours. BetterHelp.com/lovely. It is a very different thing. And even like I had been preparing myself, like hoping that, you know, the one of the proposed schedules that was that the elementary school kids pretty much went back, and then the secondary kids had a every other day schedule. And yeah, even that, I was like, okay, I can work with that. Like, yeah, that gives me every other day of solid work time. Even on the days that Roman will be home, he will have, you know, like he'll be seeing his teacher again the next day. So we've been given the work the day before that he needs to do. I'm not having to try to facilitate and help him know what it is he needs to get done. And like, I feel like this is still manageable. We're going to walk our dog every day when he's home. You know, like I have these things that make it feel like it could work. And then to have it again be like, nope, there's just lots of togetherness.
It's like more togetherness,
wait, we all need like a break from each other. And, yes, and it's not coming. And yes, so to try to figure out how to facilitate breaks when we're all just together, and yes, when it's going to start getting colder again and we can't go outside. And, you know, I feel like I pressed into the Fortnite thing this past spring because it was like, well, at least he can, still be like communicating with his friends and doing something with them. And they need that. Like, as much as I am missing my people in this time, like my kids are too. And so I'm going to allow that. But now I'm so sick of the stinking Fortnite thing. I'm like, I just want you to have real life time with your people instead of playing Fortnite with them. You know, it's like these very weird things to try to navigate.
Yeah. And there's no guidebook on this. Nobody's ever gone through this before. This is, it's hard.
It's so hard.
It's hard. And I think like we as moms, it just falls on us to set that tone.
Yeah.
Gosh, I found it easier to set the tone when I had my house to myself and I could prepare for people coming home.
Yeah.
Even at different points, you know, like just a little bit of a space. But it's just not coming. So I've just really struggled with that, is how do I make them feel like I love having them around and I'm ready for them when they're always here, because to be honest, that's not how I feel. I don't feel excited. I feel like, okay. Yeah,
here we go.
Oh, you're hungry again? Okay.
Yes. Which was the other thing I was going to bring up. Like for me, my kids were eating school lunches and I just did a snack in their bag every day. And, you know, it's been a lot of months now. And especially for you, because you have like all these big growing boys, of food and everybody wanting to eat all the time.
Yeah.
And that, just that is exhausting.
It's a full-time, that is a full-time job. It really is just feeding teenage boys.
Yeah.
Like, that's a thing.
Yeah. Yours can seriously pack it away.
Oh yeah.
And Roman had his wisdom teeth out this past week and it was interesting. Like, of course, everybody's going to get sick of soft foods and everything, but to see him be like, Mom, I just need protein. Like I need something more than, you know, I mean, and yogurt is protein, but it was like, I need something more than this. Like I need something with some substance. Like,
yeah,
it was different than I feel like if his sisters had, you know, it was just like, there was a different level of need.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Have you talked about like Instacart and,
we've talked about Postmates.
Yeah. That's, I just think I know you were going to ask me a little bit about self-care. I'm just going to jump there and say that, like, because feeding my family is a part of my job. It just is. And this is a season that, I mean, my grocery budget literally makes me cry sometimes. Like, how can I put, like, I don't know how to do it better, to make it less, because they eat so much and they, you know, this is a rough season for that. But then you compound that with shopping in stores with masks and the vibe is so different. I used to really enjoy grocery shopping, getting myself a coffee. It's an outing, you know, it's a social outing. It does not feel that way anymore. It feels depressing and it feels sad. I don't enjoy it. So one of the things that I've done is have a grocery delivery service. I've paid for that so that I can at any moment just order it and it comes to me. And that feels like self-care. That feels like something that's like, I didn't have to do that. And it came and it's done. And thank you. Like I feel so grateful when it shows up and somebody has done that for me. That's huge, especially with how quickly we go through milk. If I were to buy how much milk we need for 1 week, I would need a second cart for anything else. Like it's just ridiculous.
Oh my gosh.
And so I don't find that fun. Like that's not fun. That kind of shopping is not enjoyable to me at all. It's like a business trip, you know, like it's not the fun things where you're just enjoying like, oh, I wonder what's here today and looking around at the new or stamp. No, first of all, samples are gone. Second of all, it's not fun anymore. It just isn't. So it's so nice to have taken that off of my plate. That is a gift that gives back every single time. And it's quicker than I could have gone and picked it up and brought it back. And I didn't have to load it in my car or unload it.
Yes.
And so that's been a sweet thing that I've that I have just put back into my life. It's been a gift. I've also reinstated our Audible subscription, which we did it in those sweet years of homeschooling. That was like their downtime. You know, I had to still have that quiet time every day where they were either listening to a book or reading a book or doing Legos or because school was such a focal point of our day, I just needed to retreat a little bit. Yeah. Well, I still need that. They're just way bigger. And it's, you know, so I put Audible back on and told them I want them to finish this book by this time. And it's a fantastic book that I wanted them to read. I heard it's called Blaze of Light. It's a true story of a Green Beret during the Vietnam War. True hero. I mean, true in the sense of there were only 3,500 Medal of Honor In our whole history of our country. There were only 500 ever given, and he's one of them. And so just in order to receive a Medal of Honor, you have to have put your life, you have to have, it's a certain number of people that you have saved at the expense of your own life. Anyway, so his story is phenomenal, but how he comes to faith is phenomenal. It's amazing story. So I told my older boys, like, just work it into your rotation whenever you want, but I want this done by, you know, 2 weeks, and then we're going to all talk about it. And that's been fun because they're out of the habit of reading or, you know, like you said, the Fortnite thing, and they've been so much more lax about that stuff. So this didn't take any effort from me to, I'm not reading it aloud. I'm not having to find time or monitor it. They're old enough to do that themselves, but they're loving the story. And it's been really fun to have that back in. And then all our old Audible books are on there, like the whole Ramona series and the Henry Huggins, all the stuff they used to love. And they've been delighting it, like listening to some of that, like, oh my gosh, these are the stories that shaped us in some really intricate ways. And I lost them when I took the subscription off, because I think 2 years ago, I was like, we're not really utilizing it. But it's been a treat to have that come back in and remember, like, oh, when we read that story, it feels cozy. It feels like we were snuggled up on the couch and I had made brownies, and those are the sweet years. And it's kind of nice to tap back into that and feel like, it's not gone. It's not forever gone. It lives in these little pieces we can bring back, you know? And so that's another thing I think I'm pleased to have put back. And I have one child who wasn't here during those years.
Yeah.
He didn't experience those stories with us. He came into our family later in his life, and to be able to share that with him, you know, without it being too direct, but sort of like, here's all these books we've loved, enjoy, you know, listen. And he loves books and stories. And so it's kind of fun to unite us in that way. You know,
like really bringing him into your family culture in that
way. Yeah. In a subtle way, in a way he can control, you know, it's not too in his face.
Yeah.
It's more, you know, when he goes for a walk and he listens to it and then he comes back and says, oh my gosh, this was really funny. This scene. Yeah. And the boys are like, oh, I remember that. And
that's
been sort of a non-direct way.
Well, I love all of those things. I think it's great advice. And
okay, can I share just these two verses that I think are really I'm going back to, like, when these were my, like, homeschooling life verses.
Oh yeah.
And I feel them coming back, like with my happy planner, and I bought some new washi tapes and some fun pens, and that is like, that does something for me to make it a lovely scene, even if it's just in my own planner, but to put some intention in it and make it lovely. And then you need to fill it in, you know, then I force myself to be like, well, it can't be for nothing. Like, I actually have to put something in here.
Yeah.
And I was remembering, like, just how these verses worked in my heart, in my life, and gave me that kind of that lifeblood. And going back to those verses, like, it was sort of emotional. Like, how did I forget that this is, like, this is who I am, and this is what I love to do for my family. And the first one is Philippians 2:13. Okay, I'm going to read 12 and 13 though. Therefore, my friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. And that 13, the part where it's God who works in me to will me to fulfill his good purpose, and to feel that, like, this is me fulfilling God's purpose in the lives of his children that he's given me during this season. And how do I best do that? And praying for them intentionally with education in mind, like, what, how can I develop their minds, and how can I awake them to wonder what can, you know, and having the Holy Spirit fill that. Just that feels so exciting. And I can do that for my public school kids, or my private school children, or my homeschool. The homeschooling is easier because you just have time. But frankly, we have the time no matter how our kids are schooled right now. So they're with us. And that verse just meant a lot to me to come back to. And the other one is 2 Timothy 1:14. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And I just love that, because these are the good that's been guarded and entrusted to me, these precious children in my home. This is what I'm here to be doing right now. And how do I guard them? How do I guide them? It takes the Holy Spirit. It takes my relationship with the Holy Spirit to be knowing what to do next when the world is, like, falling apart and in chaos and we have no clue what's coming. He does. And to stay anchored there is, like, the best planning I can be doing, because he'll prepare me. He'll show me, he'll lead me.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's so good. And such a good word to end on. Just thank you so much for bringing those, Katie. I hope this has been an encouragement to people.
Yeah, me too.
I know it's a tough season, but
it is.
We'll all keep trekking through.
Yeah. We're in it together. It's hard for every single one of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today and chit-chatting, and I'll have you on again soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye. She's just one of my favorite people, you guys. I just adore Katie, and I can't wait to be bringing you all the good, amazing things that I get Marco Polos about daily that she is cooking up for her family and she wants to bring to all of us. We are really brainstorming together, and I can't wait to bring more of it to you. So be sure that you have subscribed to the podcast in whatever app you are listening to us on, and you can swipe up to see any of the show notes that we have for links of things that we have talked about, and you're going to want to come over and join us in Patreon at patreon.com/cultivatingthelovely to get even more goodness there. Next week, we will be back on the show with Crystal Evans Hurst talking about the importance of prayer, especially in a time like this. And that will be the last episode of season 5 before we launch into season 6 at the beginning of September. Thank you guys for being such loyal listeners. I hope to see you around Instagram at Mackenzie Coppa. And until next week, go be bold and gracious.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.